Hey, cheaters, it's a brand new NFL season and a lot has changed. Antonio Brown is on the Raiders, Le'Veon Bell with the Jets, Odell Beckham is in Cleveland. The one thing that hasn't changed, where I'm putting my money down on all the games. MyBookie is the place to bet on the NFL every weekend. Our Blue Wire podcasters are using mybookie.com/bluewire to sign up this year. MyBookie has better bonuses and more prop bets than any other sportsbook, period. This year, they're hosting the first online handicapping super contest. First place is guaranteed to win at least $100,000, and it only costs $100 to enter. All you have to do is pick five NFL games against the spread every week to climb the leaderboard and score your share of the huge cash prize pool. MyBookie has live in-game betting on every NFL game. They have the most rewarding player perks in the business, and for you fantasy players out there, which is basically all of you, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE when creating your account to claim the bonus. Bet, win, get paid.
Hey, cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast, brought to you by MyBookie. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Josh, there's only one thing here to say, and that is P is for Pookie. Now, I think it was your wife who reminded me of the great Cookie Monster song.
Mm-hmm. C is for Cookie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now what starts with the letter P? Pookie starts with P. Let's think of other things that start with P. Oh, who cares about the other things? P is for Pookie. That's good enough for me.
Brandon, we have been doing this podcast. I feel like I've been thinking recently about how long we've been doing this podcast for. We've had so many patron saints of the podcast, right? We've had Dia Mercy and Bacani. We've had...
who also played for Norwich at the time.
That's true. We had Sam Vokes. We've had... Poku, who never even played in the Premier League. We've lots of patron saints of the podcast. Lord Sorloth, maybe most famously. We went all in on Pookie last spring. And now the Pookie revolution, Brandon, the Finnish revolution has come to Great Britain, to England specifically, England, excuse me, Eastern England specifically. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's the patron who worked. We finally got one that worked. I don't know if that ruins the brand of the Always Cheating Patron, but we're recording this on Sunday evening for all of you out there listening, all you FPL managers, and it's before the last match of the game week, Manchester United, Wolverhampton. I guess Wolves are hosting Manchester United tomorrow night. And do you have anyone left to go in your squad? Or are you all out? Because I'm all out.
Yeah, I've got 10 out of 11. I have Diogo Jota playing tomorrow. And it's a very interesting match. You know, I we're going to try to be really consistent this year and just record on Sundays, release on Mondays. I think it's just easier. And I think, you know, unless the match is huge, right? If Liverpool are playing Man City on Monday, obviously we're going to wait to do it then. But, you know, most people are 10 or 11 out there, you know, somewhere in that range. I think it's fine to go ahead and talk about the week a little bit. People can start playing. There's also a Friday kickoff this week, too. So, you know, even though there are still matches to play, I think people are – I have actually already made transfers this week. So we can talk about that a little bit later. I have burned 4 on a Sunday, which I'm not sure I've ever done before. So that is big news that we can talk about in a little bit. But I mean, I actually, it's funny that I've done that too, because I am actually having a great week. I am on 63 points right now. I went all in on Pookie, not just on the podcast, but in my own team. I brought him in before game week 2. I was rewarded with a hat trick, which was amazing. I met up with you at the Black Horse a little bit later. We actually met up with some of our, some Patreon folks too. And, I was glad that I was alone when those Pookie goals were scored, because I needed to celebrate fully, and I would have had to try to be cool if I was like around other people. And instead I was like jumping around the room. I was picking my daughter up. We were both very excited. It was a great,
this is so magnanimous of you, Josh. I love this.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you about it later, but I didn't want you to see it in real time. So, but I had Pookie.
Boy, you should have been there. What a time we had celebrating those goals. I wish I really wish he could have been there.
Yeah. So I have Dean Henderson as well, and then Lucas Dean. So those are kind of the three players. And I kept in Sterling over Salah as well. So I kind of staked out a bunch of big positions going into this game week, you know, that I was going to go with Henderson. I was going to go with Pookie, that I thought, you know, Sterling was a better captain than Salah. Not as big of a difference as I thought it might be after he scored an early goal. But sort of everything like really clicked this game week. And so, on 63 with Jota to go, right now I'm on a over 500,000 spot rank. I'm now ranked 27K overall. So that's a nice place to be after two games. We'll see what happens tomorrow. I mean, if all the Man United assets go off, I'll probably be back in the, you know, 2 million range or something. But it feels good to be in a good spot right now. And you've actually had a pretty good game week too.
Have I? I wouldn't call it a good game week. It's
decent.
It seems like a bit of a corrective from last week. 98 points was kind of an explosive way for me to start the season. And now I'm 20 points behind you with 43, and I'm all out. And I didn't actually drop that far in the overall ranks. I went from around 75K. I'm now at 89K. Mm-hmm. But it was one of those weird game weeks for me where it feels like nothing really went wrong per se, but at the same time, nothing went right.
Right.
So I'm looking at my attacking output, and it's pretty abysmal. I got a goal and no bonus from Sterling. I captained Salah with 3 points.
Right.
And I got 6 points from Josh King. Now, when Josh King scores that penalty 2 minutes into that Bournemouth match, I'm feeling great because I feel like anyone who owns Josh King just owns King and is up against the Wilson-Fraser double up.
Mm-hmm.
That just seems to be what I see most when I'm looking at Rate My Teams. So I was feeling great there. And then I just watched Che Adams, which, hindsight being what it is, I had the option to just throw Lundstrom into my back line and put Adams on the bench.
Right.
Of course, I should have, going up against that Liverpool defense, but Che Adams actually looked quite decent.
Yeah,
and had a number of really good chances.
Liverpool defense looked quite shaky. So, I mean, it certainly could have worked out in your favor. You know, I think he had a couple of – did he have like a big – I don't know if it was a big goal chance or big assist chance early on, but I feel like he did look dangerous for sure.
Yeah, so and then the Harry Kane gambit, it continues into game week 3, and I think that you and I can talk together for once about Harry Kane.
Yes, yes we can. Yeah, so you've been following our Twitter page. Yeah, so we can talk more about that later.
I am very online, I think is what you call
champion,
it.
Champion lurker, I think we'll call you.
Yeah. So when we get to the game week 3 preview, I think I have to point to my problem spots, but I just really don't know where to take this squad right now.
So we're gonna get right into the podcast in a second. This is not gonna be one of our famous long intros. I just while we're talking about our scores, Brennan, DJ Newton said, Josh, could you please explain your move to Pookie and how much of it was a knock-on effect of Brandon leaving you behind in game week 1? It's funny he framed it that way because in some ways the move to Pookie was really a byproduct of what I thought was a very bold move on your part in game week 1 and a refusal to sort of bow to like the right way to play or whatever, you know, and you were just like, I want to have this team and this is what I, you know, this is how I want it to look. And I don't really care what anybody else thinks. And that's sort of how I felt about Pookie. There was like this feeling like, yeah, you could, you could just hold and you could be patient with Delafeu or you could just do it. Just bring in the player that you want. And sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't.
I'm writing that down, Josh. Just do it. That we should put that on a t-shirt.
I mean, you know, and like again, like there's this word that if you haven't like, you know, been doing Premier League fantasy for a long time, you may not know. If you do, it's a word you've gotten very sick of, but there's this word called differential, you know, which is basically a player that has low ownership, who, you know, you can climb up the rankings because you get on them early on, right? And then like a differential only actually lasts for a couple of weeks, right? Because as soon as they do well, everyone starts to bring them in and then they're just a regular good player that everybody has. You know, it's one of the things that separates the fantasy game from something like draft, you know, like if a player is good, everyone can have them. And so, you know, the whole like kind of trick, and I think really the fun of the game, is try to get on those players early when you can, you know, and, especially when you're doing it at the margins, you know, I feel like if you can, you know, making transfers with those, like kind of the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th best players in your team or like kind of like that like slot value, you know, I think is really where a transfer can make a big difference without kind of wrecking your structure or putting you in a position where if somebody does really well, it's going to hurt you. You know, like if Delafeu did well yesterday, it still wasn't going to hurt me really, you know, because his ownership is pretty low as well. If I had moved, Mo Salah to fund my Pookie move or something, then yeah, that'd be sad for one thing. If I had to like fund Pookie through selling Mo Salah, but let's say I did, then yeah, that could possibly hurt me, you know? So, that was really it. I think I was emboldened by your boldness, Brandon. So, you inspired me, buddy.
That's great. I stood and I delivered, and that's incredible. Yeah. I thought the Sterling captaincy on your part was a bold move as well, though I was actually shocked to see close to 50% of all FPL managers in the top 10K, which the top 10K, I don't even know what that amounts
after one
what
week.
That means yeah. after one game
yeah.
week.
Yeah.
However, with 50% of them going with Raheem Sterling, I was kind of surprised by. Of course, in the viewing, you did see that Liverpool were lagging a bit post Super Cup match.
Yeah.
And to see Sterling score so early against Spurs, I was really kicking myself. But I did feel like my prediction that I threw out on the Patreon kitchen table session was somewhat accurate, and that it turned out to be more or less a wash between Salah and Sterling. And Salah did have that one breakthrough where he was right in on goal and just flubbed his chance.
Yeah, totally. I mean, this is the thing about fantasy is that, like, you know, it's one, you know, he hits that ball a little bit higher or something and the narrative changes completely, you know, and like it's you never really know. I mean, you know, Sterling scored that goal and he really wasn't very active after that. I don't feel like I remember him having a amazing chance after he scored that goal. Like maybe he you know, had a couple of assist chances or something, but I feel like he had a couple shots blocked maybe, but it wasn't like he was incredibly dangerous after that. So in the end, 6 points versus three, I feel like no one's season is ruined by it, whether you went with Sterling or Salah.
How's this for a big transfer, Josh? I dropped Gilbert from Villa for Lewis Dunk.
Yeah.
And in all the action in that midday slew of fixtures with Pookie getting his hat trick, I kind of missed Brighton bailing on their clean sheet. Had I been tracking that game a little more closely, West Ham Brighton, I would have been more disappointed. But Dunk, being the hedge knight that he is, came through with one bonus point.
That was nice of him. Yeah, that's like getting an assist. You know, that's not that bad.
Yeah, an assist and nothing else. So thanks for that, Lewis Dunk.
All right, Brandon. Well, the theme of this week's podcast is our, I'm not sure what the right grammar is, our players we overlooked in the preseason. Okay. We've got a lot of them. It's game week three and we are already fully into wild card time, right? And why do you wild card? It's because there are about 40 different players that you didn't consider, whether because you didn't really know who they were or because their first couple fixtures were bad or they were injured or coming back from the African Cup of Nations or whatever. And now, or they were like Son, they were suspended to the first two games. And now it is time to bring in those players and you kind of want to have all of them at once. And Now is when people get excited about pulling the trigger on that wild card. So the theme of this podcast will be players we overlook. We're going to look at forwards, midfielders, defenders, and goalkeepers. Just quickly before we do, Brandon, I want to say thank you to all of our new Patreon supporters. We had a ton of them this week. We're going to read them again near the end of the podcast. But a special thanks to all the Patreon supporters. We started a new so if you want to support the podcast, you can go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. We started a new channel this week, which is Ask Josh and Brandon Anything. Right. And we had like 100 comment thread about cheese. There's a lot of fantasy talk in there as well. And I want people to ask me about movies, Brandon, because I am secretly a hardcore film nut. And I don't like the chance to talk about
you,
that.
You share this with James Richardson, who for a while tried to get his movie review content off the ground and it just didn't take. But yeah,
it's almost like I'm not a professional and no one wants to hear what I think about that. That's fair.
Yeah, but it's fun to talk about. Yeah, so it's important for us that if you're a Patreon member, you have direct access to me and Josh more for our banter and our hot takes on Quentin Tarantino than for our advice on Pookie. But yeah, if you're interested in the Slack or a bonus podcast every week before the game week deadline, just visit patreon.com/alwayscheating for more information.
All right, Brian, let's get into the pod. Brandon, we're back. Part one, players we overlooked in the preseason. And when I say overlooked, I mean, you know, obviously we, all these players we talked about or we thought about, but for one reason or another, we did not have on our squads early on in the season. In some cases are players who I just had no opinion about at all, like Trossard. The amazing double goal scorer, only one counted Trossard from game
one. I tried to have an opinion about him, but I couldn't have picked him out of a lineup. So it's pretty tricky to have an opinion
he
about
someone. He didn't look like I thought he was going to look, you know? He kind of looked like Stuart Holden, you know, the American announcer slash former player. I don't know.
Oh, sure. He's got the blonde highlights thing going on there. Yeah. Kind of a compact player.
Exactly. 5'8", 5'9". So, Brandon, we're going to look at forwards, midfielders, defenders, and keepers. Normally, we'd go back to front, but I think we'll start off with the fun ones, and we'll start off with the forwards first. But opening question here from Paul Whitehouse. He says, lots of players being transferred out after this weekend's games. Are two games really enough to decide if you've made a mistake and need to make changes?
Mm-hmm.
Classic fantasy question.
Yeah, I'm struggling with this myself with players like Ayoze Perez and Che Adams, who I mentioned earlier. And those are the two players in my squad who have yet to produce any type of output whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm even looking at my bench, like Lundstrom is coming in and providing bonus and goals and clean sheets. So, yeah, when do I say when with these players? Now, Perez is an interesting case because – I don't know. We've seen him do great things in FPL in earlier seasons, whereas Che Adams is just young. And does Adams have to develop more in his game? Whereas Perez, you're like, he just needs to bed in more with Leicester.
Right.
And I don't know. Two games, it's not enough, surely, to make a confident decision. I think if that's your management style is to move fast, then yes, I think two games is plenty.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think I used to be more patient and now I'm not. And I think it's actually a lot easier. I think a game week three wild card was a lot riskier before they moved the transfer window, you know. And I think now that the transfer window closes before the season starts, I mean, we kind of know who's on these teams, right? I mean, you have someone like Sunyoku, the 4.5 million Leicester center back, who looks like he's probably going to start most games, right? I mean, it's, you know, I guess Wes Morgan is still on the team, but I mean, he's like, you know, he's beloved player. I think he's still the captain, but I mean, he's not going
to
be.
I think he's been promoted to bookkeeper at this point for Leicester.
So someone like him, it's like, I mean, you know, let's make the move, you know, go for it. And I think, I don't know. So I think that like you sort of know where you stand with certain players now. And I'm trying to think of who I still even have like massive questions about. I mean, there are some people like Pepe on Arsenal. I want to see more of, you know, I guess Chelsea, like that entire team, Man United, a little bit of a question mark. I think we might know a little bit more tomorrow. But I mean, even like Man United, even they're like, they feel a lot more stable. And I feel like I have a better sense of where I am with that team. Now that Paul Pogba is going to stay, right. I mean, he alone makes that team, it's going to hum a lot more than it would have without him.
Right. Yeah. Even more, I agree. And even more than form and fixtures, what we know after two game weeks is who's playing, who's going to start. Right. And that's a big leg up. So even if you have a player on your team who isn't producing, but at least you know they're locked into the starting 11, that's a good sign. And maybe that does warrant a little bit more patience. That's what's so vexing to me about Brighton right now is Graham Potter seems to have so many options in the attacking midfield. And I'm still not confident, like just having Trossard coming in this week, I'm still not confident what that best starting 11 is. So that's where it starts to get a little tricky.
It's true. There's still a little bit of risk involved. Although Trossard played so well. I mean, you can't just, you can't like, I don't know. I mean, I realize he only scored one goal that counted, but like, there's no way that guy's going back on the bench, right? After a performance like that.
I should clarify, not specifically Trossard, but other players around him who, I mean, the myriad strikers that Potter has, that's Andone and Murray.
Right. I understand what you're saying.
That's what I'm talking.
So, I mean, that's why for me, even though I am having a really good game week, And as I sort of discussed earlier, do you want me to go on about it again, or should I just keep? No, let's move on. Let's move on. But I am
okay.
I am really
great. I just fast forwarded right to this point, so we're good.
I'm really considering a wild card. There's a lot of things I want to change about my team, and if Lucas Dean,
really,
yeah, I mean, if Lucas Dean is injured, then I think I'll probably just do it because I don't want my Bournemouth players. I'm not sure I really believe in Jota, especially once this Europa League, you know, kicks off. I don't really want to be doubled up in the Liverpool defense right now. I would consider going from Salah to Mane. My bench needs to get improved a little bit as well. It looks like Deco Rico is not going to be a starter in that team anymore. I've got Leitner, who, I'm not like really a believer in either. So, I mean, I feel like there's like a lot of, I could easily change six or seven things in my team, and so
that's wild card time.
Yeah. And so while, maybe not that many, let's say five, I think there's this idea that like, just because you're having a good game week that you can't wild card, and why not? It's like I go from strength to strength, right? Like just, I guess this idea that like in game week eight or something, you're going to want to have a completely different team, but maybe now is the time, maybe I just lucked into a better game week than I should have had, and I'm sort of, I need to move now, in order to sort of, what's the word? Like kind of like, lock in those gains or whatever,
Anyway. Do you want to, regarding Lucas Dean, do you want to hear one of these stranger injury assessments from Marco Silva?
Sure, yeah.
He says, quote, "We hope it's nothing really special. He started to feel a bit more tired, and he gave me the sign for me to make the change." So clearly he had something going on with his leg or his muscle, but the diagnosis is he was tired. But then Silva hopes it's nothing really special. So I love the idea that Silva thinks that injuries are special things, and that's wonderful to me. So we really don't know anything about what's going on with Dean's injury at this point.
We really don't. Yeah, I don't really. I mean, I guess we'll know more before Friday. They're actually that's actually part of the concern with him is that they are the early match on Friday. So even if it's nothing, because the turnaround is so fast for them that. Maybe they don't. The problem there, I think he most likely will play. I mean, I guess we might even know more by tomorrow, but apparently Leighton Baines had an injury and he's like just back in training. So they would maybe have to go to a third string fullback if they didn't play Dean. And that feels like going pretty far down the depth chart for a road match. Maybe if you're at home, but I feel like if Dean is okay to play or even close to it, he'll probably play game week three.
Yeah, right. Okay, so you're considering your wild card. That's a perfect segue for us to get into these overlooked players, starting with the forwards. What about Ashley Barnes? This guy, in our preseason coverage, we were enamored of Chris Wood.
Right.
For whatever reason, I just had this gut feeling that it was going to be Chris Wood's season. And he was in that tempting 6.5, or he still is in that tempting 6.5 price point. But yet again, Ashley Barnes, the Austrian wunderkind, he continues to score and score and score. How can we deny this man a spot on our FPL team?
It's a weird thing. I mean, obviously, it's a little fluky to a degree. I mean, he's how many years has he been in the Premier League now? This is his fifth season in the Premier League. Last year he scored 12 goals, which is, I guess you could argue that he's improved every season, right? He had six goals in 16-17, nine goals the season before last, and then 12 goals last season, right? So he's added three. So based on a mathematical property, Brent, he should have 15 goals this season, right? Just ticking along with three. And eventually he will score 50 goals in a season. It may take him, whatever that comes out to, 12 seasons or something, but he'll do it.
Yeah.
I think, he's already in three already, right? So all he has, it looks like he's going to be a double-digit scorer this season. I don't know. I mean, the Burnley's fixtures are okay. I mean, I've actually felt like I feel like I'm not answering your question. I mean, is Ashley Barnes a fundamentally different player than he was last season? That seems like the answer is no.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Yes.
They play Wolves.
For whatever reason,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, before you get into the fixtures, I just so closely associate Barnes and Burnley with their late season runs. And Barnes always seems to enter into the conversation around game week 28. Mm-hmm. So I'm not used to Burnley. I mean, the last season especially, I'm not used to Burnley being so attacking to start with. So it's like I'm not ready for Ashley Barnes.
It's like a Jose Perez, right? Where it's like he's always been like a second half of the season guy. And now you're like, wait, I've got to have him from the start?
Right. Okay. So, Burnley's fixtures, right? Wolves away, Liverpool at home. Then things start to look much better for Burnley in game week 5 with Brighton, Norwich, and Aston Villa. So maybe you keep your powder dry with Ashley Barnes for another few weeks and then jump on him.
God, my boy McNeil, by the way, I know we're not talking about midfielders yet, but I thought he looked excellent in that Arsenal match. I thought he really played. I think I might have said the Chelsea match. I'm in Arsenal, of course. I thought he really acquitted himself well in that Arsenal match. I don't know if you watched all of Arsenal. Burnley.
I did watch the match. McNeil honestly didn't stand out that much to me, but I wouldn't say I'm not going to agree to disagree. I'm not saying he played badly. He just didn't stand out to me that much.
All right. Agree to disagree. We move on.
Well, I just want to say one more thing about that fixture swing between game week 4 and 5. Mm-hmm. That's the international break. The first one of the season happens after game week 4. Mm-hmm. And that is like the heart of wild card season.
Right.
So if you think you can make it to the end of game week 4 and you wild card then over the international break, then it's Burnley time.
Yeah, I think possibly. Honestly, I have Pope right now, and that almost feels like that's enough. I mean, am I really like, am I so convinced that Burnley's back that I want to double up on their defense? I feel like we've just seen time and again this season already that doubling up on defenses is not like an effective strategy. You know, it's like, you need to spread the risk around. You know, like I feel like it's like, maybe it's like a more effective, I guess I feel like I need someone like more stat based to look at this, but it feels like it's a more effective strategy like the second half of a season. Right. When teams seem to like kind of lock in and they're either just rolling the way like Liverpool and Man City did last season near the end, or they're surviving. Right. And they're winning a bunch of 1-0s and things like that just to like, you know, there's just to like pick up even 1 point or 3 points, like just like, you know, clamp down and you got to win. But it feels like early on things are a little more loose, you know. So, I don't know.
Okay, so Marcus Rashford, another player that we didn't talk a whole lot about in the preseason.
Right.
And now after that Chelsea win, a lot of people jumped on Martial and Rashford. I'm very confused at how Ole decided to play the natural left-sided winger Martial through the middle and then push his best striker and Marcus Rashford out to the left.
Right.
That's a curious one.
It's like a half inverted winger thing or something. I don't know either. Yeah. That's an interesting one.
But I think on the whole, I am finding Rashford to be more appealing than Martial, just because Martial has never been able to really put a sustained run of attacking returns together where Rashford has, and he seems to have, I think, more chemistry with Paul Pogba.
Yeah,
but the 8.5 price point seems only a downgrade for me from Kane to Marcus Rashford. I haven't seen enough of Manchester United to make that call yet, but that 8.5 price tag is a hard one to shift into, I think, given a lot of people's team structure.
Yeah, and if I were to wild card this week, which I don't think I'm going to do, but I don't mind if I do. I don't like have a week in mind when I really want to do it or anything like that. And I think it's fine to do it early, just to capitalize and get ahead of some price rises too. I mean, part of the reason I would do it would be to get some of these Man United, get a Man United defender, right? Because they have a really nice run of fixtures after game week 2, right? They play Palace, Southampton, Leicester, and West Ham the next 4 after that. So something to think about. But Rashford, I don't know. I mean, the kind of like, I don't love that he isn't really playing I guess you could say they're playing multiple forwards up front, but you know, he's still being shifted out left. You know, it's like the way it happens with Aubameyang sometimes where you don't really want them. You want your forward to be like camped out, right? You know, like at the edge of the box and, or whatever. I mean, obviously it depends on the style of play, but I don't know. Like, that doesn't bother you at all that he's kind of like, you know, off to the left?
Well, Let's see what happens. Is that going to be the way it goes for the entire season?
Right.
I think if United come up to against any obstacles, which surely they will, Ole will change the system around as need be.
Yeah.
I would not be shocked to see Rashford playing through the middle in numerous starts before the end of the year.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I know you're not that's my guess. I know you're not like looking to transfer him in or like that, but you know, I just, yeah, I mean, I do get that. I feel like a Man United defender is the thing I'm most interested in. I'm also sort of interested in it as like a, just as like a defensive situation, because I'm getting a little concerned about the ownership level for some of these players, you know? You know, Juan Bissaka is already up to, yeah, he's 36% owned already. He's kind of one of the 10 most owned players in the league. So if they start keeping clean sheets, that is going to be a massive overall rank killer. So and Liverpool's defense looking kind of shaky right now. So moving like Arnold to Shaw or something.
When we get to the defensive section of overlooked players, maybe I think it was fun. We were ranking some of the overlooked defenses at the Black Horse on Saturday.
Yeah.
Let's talk more about that.
That sounds good.
But last on the forwards, we have a question from Nervous Ned. Pukki is playable in all games. If he can score against Liverpool at Anfield, he shouldn't fear Chelsea or even Man City. Therefore, is he now a must own? If we haven't talked about Pukki enough yet, Josh, are you feeling like Pukki is a must own for everyone out there?
He's like borderline, I would say. I mean, I don't, like, okay, like why would he be, right? Well, why would he be? Because he was a 30 goal scorer in the championship last season. It seems like he was, you know, great form all season. Also linked up well, picked up a number of assists. He has a body that would seem to lend, like, unlike Tammy Abraham, who I still worry is like too tall and skinny to be a great forward in the Premier League, Pukki kind of seems like he has like the stature to be a good, to like hold, like to just like physically hold off defenders, right?
He has that Sergio Aguero sort of, he's filled out in the middle, that center of gravity that he seems to have command over. I totally agree with you. I would even liken him, well, not in that way, because physically he doesn't resemble Raul Jimenez, but Pukki has the makings here of a Jimenez-esque run from last season.
Yeah.
And was Jimenez the best striker in the Premier League? No, not by a long shot. But was he the best value in your front line for fantasy? Without a doubt.
Yeah.
And I think he made so many game weeks last season. And Pukki, I mean, after two game weeks, it seems silly to say he will, but it seems likely that he's really going to push a lot of managers over that finish line.
Yeah, and I still feel like there's a real edge in having him. I mean, like, you know, if you're on Twitter or wherever, like, you know, you would think that his ownership is shot up to Aaron Wan-Bissaka levels, but it's at 12.6% right now. I mean, this guy is not like, if you pick him up, it's still going to be a huge advantage for you. Now, the caveat here is that they do play Chelsea and Man City in two of the next three. So, you know, they're, you know, one would not expect him to have like another hat trick. Like, it's not, obviously he's not going to score a hat trick every game week or even score every game week. And so there are a couple tricky runs of fixtures right now. So, you know, if you feel confident in the rest of your team, or maybe you've got like a, you know, like a 4-5-1 kind of setup they're using or whatever, then maybe you could wait. But you know, the problem is he's already up to 6.7. I would not be surprised if he actually rose at least once, if not twice, this game week. You know, there's a chance he's at 6.8 or 6.9. And he's just probably, he's going to keep climbing. And so it's, you know, they're moving early on him might be a real advantage, especially because, I actually feel pretty confident about him going to that Chelsea fixture. I feel fine about the West Ham game in game week four. Maybe I try to bench him in game week five at home to Man City, although he did score at Anfield. So, I don't feel too nervous about that one. And then they've got a really nice run of fixtures after that. So, I don't know. I mean, let me turn it around. Like, what do you think? Do you want to have him in your squad? Like, what are your feelings on Teemu Pukki?
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I don't want to be too reactionary, but I think, you know, both you and I trust our eye test pretty well. And yeah, Norwich had one chance and they took it against Liverpool in game week one. Mm-hmm. And it was just taken expertly by Pukki. And then to see him just absolutely rout Newcastle, all three of those goals, it wasn't a fluky hat trick. That was
quality, like a professional Premier League forwards hat trick. I agree.
Yeah. There is a shred of doubt in that I don't know if I truly, I don't know how cosmic this is going to sound, but do I really know this Norwich team in the Premier League yet?
Sure.
And remember Huddersfield, I don't know if they, their first season up, which was like, what, two seasons ago, and they smashed, maybe it was Palace in the first game week, and everyone thought, oh, is Huddersfield the team? Now, Huddersfield at that time didn't have a Pookie-like striker.
Right.
But is Norwich just burning super hot right now and that they're going to cool down in a moment?
Yeah, I think that's possible. The team I was thinking of was Hull when they came up a couple of seasons ago, you know, and they had that 3-2 win over Chelsea, and I think it was game week one, and then proceeded to, you know, be relegated in March or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's possible. I mean, the one thing that's been said about Daniel Farke's Norwich is that they do attack, you know, like that is what they do. They are a like super attacking, aggressive team. I don't see them keeping a lot of clean sheets this season, but I do see them scoring a lot of goals. And from a fantasy point of view, that's fine. You know, give me one or the other, you know, I mean, Sheffield United's kind of the other end of the spectrum. And it's like, great. Like, give me two of those guys, you know, I mean, I play them every week, but you know, they're cheap.
I think that's a good point, because if I look at my squad with Che Adams, if I don't know Norwich, I do know Southampton, and I know them enough now to know that they don't seem very confident in what they're doing. Whereas Norwich, clearly Farke has a very clear idea of what they're going to do when they get out on the pitch. If you offered me the opportunity to swap Josh King or Che Adams to Pookie right now, I'd take you up on it.
Do you think that Daniel Farke has forgotten more about football than you'll ever know?
I think he's a psychopath.
All right, let's move on. Midfielders. Brendan, I have a question for you. Is the 5.5 million to 6 million midfielder the new 6.5 million to 7 million defender?
It may be. I mean, I think it's a fun bracket for sure. Mm-hmm. And I think FPL has taken the premium defender and sort of zapped all the fun out of it. It's like, okay, now I have to have these expensive defenders and they'll kneecap the rest of my squad. But the fact that we're getting goals in this 5.5 to 6 million midfielder makes it so fun.
Yeah.
The aggravating thing is you can't have them all. And who's going to be the one to get the goal that game week? I don't know.
Yeah, I just think it's interesting. I mean, it's amazing how fast these sort of things start to trend, you know, four at the back, five at the back, very big, very in vogue. And now we're starting to see value in this cheaper bracket. And it can be kind of like for like, right? I think like a 6 million defender and a 6 million midfielder, you can kind of get in the same returns there a little bit, you know, and it's a little more fun, I think, to have someone like Ceballos. You know, you don't really know what you're going to get. Like, is he going to pop out with like a 2-goal, 2-assist game at some point, you know, like
right.
Who knows?
Yeah.
So there,
and I like this bracket too, just because we're going to be talking more about playing three premium attackers once people start triggering their wild card. And our game week one templates weren't able to have a premium striker plus Salah and Sterling. But now that we're getting to this point where we're getting these budget midfielders, these budget attackers coming to the fore, it's going to be so much easier for us to figure out a way to bring in another premium attacker. So it's like, it's great. It's all bonus for us.
Brendan Stewart says, are either of you looking to move Fraser, in my case, or Perez, in your case, for the cheaper Ceballos? And Brandon, I'm going to pause you there because I will also add, instead of Ceballos, it can also be McGinn, Lanzini, Lamella, Mason Mount. How about a Cantwell? Okay. And dip down to that 4.5 range. What do you think, Brandon? Are you thinking about moving Perez? I mean, two okay game weeks, had a couple moments today, probably should have had an assist.
Yeah. And Leicester do play, I mean, they play Sheffield in game week three. Is that a good fixture? Is it a bad fixture given Sheffield's defensive exploits? I don't know. This is these types of moves, right, are the ones that will always burn you, or the ones that have the least upside.
They're so unsexy. Like,
okay. Yeah. I'm going to trade 2 to 3 points from Perez to get 2 to 3 points from another midfielder with the hope that one I bring in actually scores a goal.
Yeah.
And the hope that Perez doesn't. So can I work? As I said, Perez is one of the only guys in my squad that hasn't produced anything. And has he come close? Not as close as I'd like.
Yeah.
Like Che Adams at least had great chances against Liverpool of all teams. And Perez is at the point where we are, I would not be surprised to see Perez get rotated a little bit.
Yep.
Just for Brendan Rodgers to try out something different in the attack.
Yeah. I mean, Iheanacho hasn't really gotten any minutes so far. He's a player that you could see. I think he's been on the bench both game weeks. Has he even played a minute? I don't think he has. So, yeah, you do wonder. I mean, it's funny because watching that match, as we were talking a second ago, I was thinking about how we all thought of Jose Perez as, you know, oh, well, it's great because he's a midfielder, but he's an out-of-position forward. And then you watch this match and you're like, no, there is one forward on, on Leicester, and yeah, that is Jamie Vardy. And everybody is in service to Jamie Vardy. I mean, yep, you know, and if there is a chance for Jose Perez to score, he, like, looks at Jamie Vardy first to make sure it's okay, right? Like, there's uh-huh, an alpha forward on that team. So I think some of that, like, I just think he's a little less sexy after a couple of weeks, too. There's this feeling like, okay, yeah, he is what we thought he was. He's fine. He's a talented player. I mean, the player who, I you know, coming out of that game is James Maddison. And you're like, oh, yeah, like, Madison's the one I'd want, yeah, you know, totally all
he
over
was
the
ball. All over the pitch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Perez feels like, I mean, it's you never really know. I mean, it'd be interesting to see how Jota does tomorrow too, because he's another player who's kind of in that bracket where you're like, well, like, in theory I like having him, you know, but mm-hmm, is you know, do I really believe in him or not? I mean, it's, you know, well this could sound very funny depending on how he does tomorrow, but like, yeah, it feels like sometimes you just have to like recognize that right off the bat. That's how I felt with Delafeu after game week one, where I was like, oh yeah, this isn't gonna work. You know, like, I don't want this guy. Like, get him on my team. Like,
yeah. So then how are you feeling about Ryan Fraser then?
He's already out. He's gone. I moved him for Cantwell. Let's talk about Cantwell for a minute because he's an interesting player. He is Todd Cantwell, Brandon. I know his mother and father a little bit, Brandon. So we can talk about that a little bit.
Todd is just such a funny.
It's a
Todd
funny
is a
name.
Wonderful name.
Come on, it's funny.
It feels very, yeah, for us. It feels like a young man from Michigan. The great state
my best
of Michigan.
Friend growing up was Todd McKenzie. So yes, I definitely.
It does not feel like a professional athlete in the UK.
No, it doesn't. Which I like that. Yeah. So Todd Cantwell. We should just call him Todd from now on the podcast. So Todd picked up 2 assists. Interesting player, as I mentioned before, because he's 4.5 million, which is obviously like as cheap as it gets for a midfielder. And he is now, because of an injury to Onel Hernandez, excuse me. He is
nice one.
Yeah, thank you. I finally got it out there. He is basically alone in that on that left flank. And if you look at like a heat map for that game, he's playing really far forward, really attacking. So you have this Norwich team that we have kind of established is going to attack. They may, you know, get outscored in some of these matches, but they're going to be shootouts in some cases, right? So yeah, you got a couple of gunslingers up there, Brandon. So you want a Todd in a situation like that, obviously. Todd sounds like a gunslinger.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I'm like, let's do it. Let's bring in a Cantwell and let's go for it. I just love him as value. And so I moved.
Well, and Onel Hernandez is having knee surgery. It's right. Not like it's
3 months.
He's got that spot locked down for a couple of weeks. No, it's like in perpetuity.
Exactly. And he actually started over him in game week one anyway. So, he may have really had that spot down regardless. I think he's like 21 years old, a young player. So there's not like a huge history of statistics behind him. I just think he's an interesting player. And I it's like you were saying, it wasn't very sexy. And I thought, well, I could move the player that I was considering is McGinn, who had a lot of nice moments in Aston Villa's match yesterday, like took a lot of ambitious shots.
He does. He has that Ruben Neves about him. Yeah. But of course, everyone will remember that goal he scored in the championship, like that half
the Neves,
volley
the Neves
from
goal.
Nearly,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I'm talking about the John McGinn goal.
Oh, okay.
That he half volleyed from like a good 40 yards out, postage stamped it. But he is a worldly type of a guy, but he does also crash into the box.
Yep.
There's lots to love about him. And boy, he'd fit right in on Norwich, that crazy attacking team that is Norwich. I thought Jack Grealish had a really
active game,
a really Yeah, exactly. So Villa isn't getting the same output that Norwich is after 2 weeks, but I think the potential is there. I mean, Mason Mount, too, the aggression that he showed in his home debut for Chelsea against Leicester. Now they've got Norwich and Sheffield Wednesday coming up, followed by Wolves.
There are three. There are three players that are in Mount, and then I think if you include Lanzini and Lamella, who are all kind of interesting. They're a little more expensive, right? They're all like in that six to six point five million range. I just don't trust any of those teams right now. I guess actually in Lamella's case, it's that I don't trust how he fits because. Without Son in that team right now, what's his name? The new signing for Spurs hasn't really played that much. I think he just got his first minutes. Lo Celso got his first minutes in the Man City match. I think he only played 5 minutes. So we don't really know how Lo Celso and Lucas and Lamella and how everybody's going to fit together. And so that makes Lamella off the table for me.
Yeah.
And then Lanzini, I think, is a very talented player, but he is injury prone, which is like a big strike against anybody I've tried to bring on my fantasy team. And that West Ham team is a real question mark, I think.
Question mark is, I think, generous there, Josh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There are some real stinkers out there to start the season. Palace is... probably the biggest disaster of all of them. Watching them against Sheffield, they were utterly clueless.
Yeah.
And Zaha didn't want to be there at all. Watford are an absolute mess.
Yeah.
And West Ham probably has the most potential if you're looking at those three teams, but they're still just, they've had a whole season with Pellegrini and he hasn't been able to solidify them at all. Yeah. So it could be more of the same from West Ham this season.
I know, and there's a lot of excitement about them, but it's hard to watch those first two matches. Now, granted, one of them was Man City, and one of them was away to Brighton, which is actually it's funny that Brighton Man City was the match that you and I saw last year at the at the MX Stadium. This is hard to walk away, even given the caveats. You know, no one looks good against Man City, or I guess Spurs do sometimes. But it's just hard to be excited about anyone on that team right now.
All right, in the midfielder bracket, let's move away from the cheap guys. Let's one last question about midfielders. Let's set our sights a little higher here, Josh.
Okay.
Sparty wants to know: is Son an option between the two? Do you prefer KDB? Now, watching Spurs Man City. It was clear who the best player on the pitch was. It was Kevin De Bruyne. He was just like full on Dragon Ball Z character, like Super Saiyan mode.
Yeah.
Insane.
Vegeta. Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
So that's cool. So if you said Son versus KDB, I have already seen with my own two eyes that KDB looks great.
Right.
City look. I don't want to totally qualify my opinion on City just based on that Spurs fixture. I still think that they're the team to beat in the league, but so there they are. How does Son compete with KDB? I don't know if he does.
No, I don't think he does either. And in fact, I was under the impression until like an hour ago that Son cost 8.5 million. And then I realized he cost 9.5. I mean, which is not an unreasonable price by any means, but I mean, how do you compare KDB and Son right now? I mean, Son probably won't even start game week 3, right? I mean, he hasn't played. I mean, I'm sure he's been training with the team. I know he played with them in preseason, but does he slot right into that team after two competitive matches? I think he probably only gets like 25 minutes in that match. So that's a strike against him right there. I mean, and then they play away to Arsenal, which isn't a bad fixture for Harry Kane. But for everyone else, I'm like a little nervous about being overinvested. So I don't know. I'm not really feeling the Sun. The KDB thing. So I've been thinking about this KDB thing a little bit. And I just think I'm not going to have him. And I guess that's just how it's going to be. And I hope I hope it doesn't kill me. You can't have everybody, you know, and I don't know how I can have all the players I want and still have KDB. And so I'm just going to go with that and I'm try to risk it.
Yeah. I had many drafts going into game week one where I was I had three must-haves on my attacking list, and it was Sterling and Salah and Kane. And I also wanted De Bruyne. One of them had to be cut down, and it was De Bruyne. Now, that was my question for you, is if part of your wild card thinking was to also get De Bruyne in. But you are, if I know you, Josh, and I know you,
yes,
you don't care for assists. You're all goals. You're more of a Mane than a Salah.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, somebody I was in a Slack conversation earlier with Mike, Mike Nedro is one of our Patreon supporters. And he was asking me about, it's like, well, what do you think about dropping Sterling for KDB? And I was like, well, I don't want to drop the guy who's scoring the goals for the guy who's assisting the guy who's scoring the goals, right? Even at the 2.5 million savings. I know that KDB outscored Sterling this game week, but in general, I think Sterling is worth the extra 2.5 million. I am a goal guy. I don't know. It's worked out well. Like, I don't know. Like, go for the goals. Like, assists are nice, but, you know, I don't know. It's like, sometimes it can cost you for sure. I mean, it's like, yeah. I don't get that, like, tectonic or whatever the word is. What's that word? Like, just that, like, steady rhythm of points each game week. You know, but
metronomic,
not tectonic. Thank you, Brandon. Metronomic. I'm not getting that metronomic return. Sometimes I'm going to get 18 points and often I'm going to get 1.3 games, three games in a row. And I'm okay with that, I guess.
Yeah,
I guess.
All right. Which defenders flew under the radar in the preseason? Who got overlooked? First and foremost, one of the weirder looking central defenders we've had in the league in a long time.
Looks like Shrek.
Would you have guessed that Soyuncu is Turkish?
Because I've seen the spelling of his name, the proper spelling with the Turkish accents. So, he's interesting. You know, he arrived as a deadline. I think it was a deadline day deal going into the 2018-19 season. Sort of interesting player. I think he came out at $4 million last year. Maybe he actually even did get a couple of starts near the end of last season. And I don't know how to rate him yet. You know, the Leicester's defense didn't have I guess they did okay, right? I mean, they kept Chelsea to a goal in that match, but.
They were getting pummeled for a good 30 minutes to start that match, though. Totally. It was kind of a miracle they only let one goal in.
Yeah. And now they're about to play Man United, Everton, and Chelsea in three of their next four. So, that's Wolves. Jeez, Brent, Josh.
Come on, man. Come on. Leicester coming up. They've got Sheffield, Bournemouth, then United, Spurs, Newcastle, Liverpool. It's like I think we were looking at their fixtures with somebody at the Black Horse, and it was – noted, I think it was our friend Leo who noted, like, Leicester don't have a solid patch of good fixtures throughout the entire season.
Yeah.
Like, it's only like two fixtures at a time that look genuinely like mouthwatering. So, you know, this is it's the story.
Southampton has the same thing. You look at their whole season and there's barely any good runs of fixtures. It's a weird thing.
Yeah. So, I like the idea of, well, I guess my Lewis Dunk transfer shows my hand in that I'm coming around on the idea that, hey, central defense, cheap center backs aren't all bad.
Sure.
Why do we have to have all these fancy wingers all the time?
Sure. Who's got the money?
I don't have the money. And I think center backs they seem to be decent places to go for bonus at the moment.
That's true. You know,
it's one way to play.
Yeah, and it's funny that you say that because I think the team that has really impressed, they impressed in game week one and continue to impress is Sheffield United. And I think that their defense is a real defense to watch. I mean, obviously you have Lundstrom, who is the $4 million, you know, goal scorer, bonus point picker upper, clean sheet keeper in game week two. You know, owned by 9.6% of managers, and he's on a lot of benches. I know he's going to come off a few of them, but a lot of people didn't actually start him this game week.
Yes. So goodbye to your game week rank is going to go down a fair amount if you don't have Lundstrom coming off your bench, as many others do.
Yeah. Not Matt. I feel like it's the people, a lot of people who seem to have, what's his name? The Chelsea midfielder, whose name I'm forgetting right now for some reason.
Jorginho?
No, Ross Barkley. I feel Ross like Barkley is a player who a lot of people have, and he didn't play this game week. And so a lot of people are getting it Lundstrom as a result of Barkley not playing. Were there any other major players?
Who are you people out there with Ross Barkley? Show yourselves.
Were there a lot of other people? Like, I feel like most players did start this game week who you expect, right? We're not going to see that many people come on. Or like Dendoncker come up that many benches, is he? Like it's only going to be a handful.
I think the tricky ones would be the people who got on Allaire at West Ham early. Yep. And he was surprised to not start. So he could be one.
Yeah.
I don't know. They kind of pop up out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Sheffield United defense is that does look like a great rotating defense. Mm-hmm. If you need to fill out your bench, right? Maybe you have Martin Kelly, or you just took a flyer on somebody like Gilbert, who you thought was going to start for a lower rung defense, and they're not there. You could just move to Sheffield United. They're going to be good to bring in for decent fixtures. Always a clean sheet shot there. It seems that way anyway. So I do like that. And the overlapping center backs that everyone's talking about, we have actually seen that in action. They are actually overlapping out on the wing, these center backs. So.
Pretty cool. Yeah. They don't have an awesome run coming up. They play Chelsea. Well, the two of the next three are fine, I think. They Leicester and Southampton at home in 3 and 5, but then it's a tricky run from there. Everton and Watford away, Liverpool and Arsenal at home, West Ham away even after that is a bit tricky. So I don't know. But like, again, like if you're going to bring in some Sheffield United players, I mean, I have Dean Henderson as my rotating keeper with Pope. And I do like the way those two rotate more or less. The game before is a bit of a problem. So I think that if you're going to bring one of those players, even Henderson for me is not going to be an every week starter, you know? And so it's sort of like, yeah, bring in a Chris Basham and make him your fifth defender, and then just, you know, you can move on.
Yeah. Right. What about Burnley? I see you made a note here on Eric Peters, who had 2 assists in game week 1 with the clean sheet. Right. Burnley, they look strong to start the season, and they've got some decent options. I myself am on Matt Loughton, which he looks decent, getting very far forward, far enough forward to getting fights with the opposing team defense. I was very concerned that Loughton was going to walk away with a yellow card at the end of that match this weekend. But how do you decide between Peters and Loughton?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Peters has only been on the team for 2 weeks. He does seem like he's more attacking, and he costs the same. So I guess I'd go with him. I was surprised that Taylor lost his spot, but I guess I don't know. Maybe they like what Peters offers from an attacking perspective. Maybe he's rotatable. I don't know, rotation prone, but seems like he's had a really nice start. So I feel pretty good about Peters. If I was picking one on a wild card, I'd pick Peters.
There's something about Eric Peters, and it's probably because he plays for Stoke, and I assume that anyone who plays for Stoke is like pushing 42 years old, but to see him in a Burnley kit, suddenly he looks like 5 years younger. He's only 31 years old, so he's not some sort of old codger.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think just whether it's Nick Pope, and I think there are a lot of people out there that would make the case that Pope is the best way into this Burnley defense, given his like insane shot stopping ability. Mm-hmm. But they have proper fullbacks there that should catch your interest.
Brandon, one last player to talk about, one goalkeeper to talk about. It's Jordan Pickford. Stavros says, Pickford, 14 clean sheets to finish last season, many against the top six teams, completely ignored by everyone. I don't know if I go that far. And assuming their defense suddenly is bad, their new defensive midfielder, Gabamin? Is solid, and Mina versus Zuma is not that much different. Mina's actually looked good the first 2 matches. So
yeah.
What do you think? Double up on Everton, or maybe just Pickford by himself?
Well, it's an interesting question, and I had teased this earlier in the pod, right? Talking about who suddenly has the best looking defenses in the league. And on paper, if you look at Coleman, Keane, Mina, Dean, and Pickford in goal. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty sensational on-paper defense. Same with Manchester United. Suddenly it's AWB, Maguire, Lindelof, who's probably been sold short by his back line in previous seasons, and Luke Shaw. I might say the same, De Gea in goal. I really like this Everton defense, given all that, but if you have to choose, it has to be Coleman or Dean, because while I was talking up this idea of trying to chase bonus points with center backs, you do have the elite level fullbacks, which Everton does have. And yep. just looking at what Dean has done last season, what he did, that ball he played to Bernard for the goal was yeah. just like chef's kiss.
It really was.
I 5.5, right? That, and that's the deal breaker for me. If Pickford were 5.0, then maybe I think you could justify for budgetary reasons doubling up on Everton D, but he's 5.5. Yeah.
I know it does make a big difference. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I'd like to do it too, but yeah, Dean, unless Dean has some serious massive injury, we're 2 weeks in, and he's already the leading defender in terms of the points in the season, and he might stay there. You know, I mean, he might, this might be his like, you know, Marcus Alonso kind of season, right? I mean, the team is probably better than they were last year. His Leighton Baines type season. You know, he had 4 goals and 5 assists and 13 clean sheets last year, 158 points. I wouldn't be surprised if he kicked on even further, you know, 175 or something like that down the season. So, we ended up talking about him instead of Pickford. But, yeah, I think that Pickford, I'm with you. He's slightly too expensive, but we probably did overlook him a little bit. But he's not anyone I'm, like, dying to bring in.
Yeah. All right. So players we overlooked, I'm sure we still overlooked a few. So if you have any in mind, just add us at Twitter or on Facebook, and we'd love to hear from you. Yep. But in the meantime, Josh, shall we take a quick break and come back with a lightning round?
Let's do it. It's a Liverpool lightning round.
Ooh, yeah. I've heard of Liverpool. They're good. They're quite good.
Brandon, if shaving is a terrible experience for you, we've got you covered at Blue Wire. Our podcast network is teaming up with Harry's to make sure our listeners are shaving comfortably. Go to harrys.com/bluewire to save $10 on a value trial set, which includes a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, a rich lathering shave gel. Oh, I wish I had one of those right now, Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
Travel blade cover. You get all that for just $3. Ship right to your door. Enough with the low-quality razors from convenience stores. It's totally worth trying Harry's. Sign up today. Harry's has fixed shaving by combining a simple, clean design with quality and durable blades at a fair price. Harry's founders are tired of paying for razors that were overpriced and overdesigned. I agree. I hate buying razors. Harry's bought a world-class blade factory in Germany that's been making quality blades for 95 years. Join the 10 million who have tried Harry's. Claim your trial offer by going to harrys.com/bluewire. All of Harry's blades come with a 100% quality guarantee. If you don't love your shave, let them know and they'll give you a full refund. Again, make sure you go to harrys.com/bluewire to redeem your razor for $3.
Guys are terrible at taking care of their health. Whether it's a knee injury, bad back, or something worse, guys are usually more comfortable rubbing some dirt on it than seeing a doctor. The same is true for erectile dysfunction. Studies show 70% of guys who experience ED don't get treated for it. Thankfully, Roman created an easy way to chat with a doctor online. With Roman, you can get medical care for ED, if appropriate, from the comfort and privacy of your own home. You can handle everything online in a convenient, discreet manner. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/BlueWire and complete an online visit. If your doctor decides treatment would be appropriate, they can prescribe genuine medication that can be delivered in a discreet package right to your door with free 2-day shipping. Guys, go talk to the doctor. Erectile dysfunction can be tough to tackle, but it's really important to get checked out. With Roman, it's easy to connect with a doctor. Just go to Roman.com/BlueWire to get a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/BlueWire for a free visit to get started. GetRoman.com/BlueWire.
All right, Brandon, we're back. We have a special short Liverpool lightning round. Nervous Ned says, is it too soon to ditch the double Liverpool defense?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think it's too soon. I think there's money. There's gold in them there hills with Liverpool's defense, and it's 2 clean sheet wipeouts in 2. I mean, Liverpool's defense isn't suddenly bad. They're still elite level, and there are things that every single, well, at least the 3 ownable players offer you. VVD right. with his clean sheets and goal threat, and then the 2 fullbacks for obvious reasons. But I think now it's sort of like what I was saying about finding these budget options to be able to then move into a three premium attacker model for your team. I think we're not, you may now need more money, and Liverpool is where you could get that. So yeah, the double defense, is it too rich or is it just bad? I'm not sure. Either way, I think it's fine to ditch at this point in time.
I don't mind having, I have Trent and I have Van Dijk. It is, you know, it's a tricky thing. I mean, they would have kept back-to-back clean sheets most likely if Adrian didn't exist, you know.
Sick burn on Adrian.
I don't mean like didn't exist in the Liverpool squad. You know, not existing human being. You know,
I will say I completely forgot in that moment the horrible mistake he made to gift Danny Ings that goal on Saturday.
That is just being incredibly mean. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm just kidding a little bit, but yeah, he did. I mean, he also like conceded the penalty in the the reason Mo Salah probably didn't score that goal, Brandon, is because they had to go to 120 minutes at midweek because of the bad penalty that Adrian conceded in their Super Cup match at midweek too. So, yeah, I think they don't look like they're like syncing up very well together right now. I mean, I guess there was some attempt maybe to bring back Matip and get the gang back together or something in game week two. I don't really, you know, so. I don't know. Yeah, it does feel a little like maybe you don't need both. The problem is you probably do need Van Dijk because he's 52.3% owned. It's a very high ownership percentage.
To say the least.
Maybe is he the most highly owned player in the game? He's got to be up there. I guess Salah's probably right up there as well, right? He's 50. Salah's only 43. May have been higher before this week. I wonder if some people were selling him for Mane or possibly even Sterling. So I think Van Dijk is hard to drop. So then it's a question of Trent versus reinvesting that money elsewhere. And when I think about wildcarding, one of the reasons I would want to do it is because I could move Trent to a 5.5 million Man United defender, and I would still be kind of doing the coverage thing, right? Because instead of a highly owned Liverpool defender, I'd have a highly owned Man United defender. And then I would also have an extra 1.5 million that I could use to upgrade Leitner or whomever to McGinn, you know, and suddenly my team just feels better. That just feels like a better, you know, kind of spread of money in my squad. So that's sort of tempting, you know? I don't know. I feel like, I probably am ready to drop them too. I've already burned four this game week. I'm certainly not going to burn eight. If I was in a position where I was going to burn eight, I would just wildcard. I did bring in Harry Kane for Callum Wilson. I guess I never actually mentioned that, but I moved Fraser to Cantwell and I moved Wilson to Kane. I was some price rises were imminent and drops, and so I sort of went ahead and did that just to get out ahead of it. So I think that answers that question. This is lightning round, right?
I have a follow up though that we can treat as a lightning round question. If we're getting the band back together with Matip, Van Dijk, Rabo, and Trent, who plays drums? Who plays lead guitar? Who plays backing guitar? And who plays bass?
Yeah. Okay. That's a good question.
I feel like Matip is definitely the bass player, right?
Yeah. Although I think you can make a case for Robertson as well. Maybe Robertson is the singer. No, Van Dijk is the singer, right? He's like
Van Dijk is singer and lead guitar for sure.
Joey Ramone. Yeah. Yeah. And then Trent, I think, is the lead guitarist. I think that he's the one he's doing rhythm guitar, right?
Okay.
So
Robbo's on drums.
I guess Rabo's on drums. Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's where
sounds
he is.
Sounds like a great band. I'm excited to hear their next
album. I
think
you could put Matip on drums and you could have Rabo do the bass. I think that there's a case we made for Rabo on the bass too. Okay. It's kind of a bass player style.
All right. Next question comes from TRPLR. Thoughts on Mane versus Salah. Yeah. Mane looked great against Southampton. He is he's a goal scorer, Josh. That's what he does.
Yeah,
you look at the big difference between Salah and Mane last season. They both scored 22 goals, but Mane only had 3 assists, whereas Salah I think had 12 assists. So that was like the huge discrepancy in FPL points. That's why Salah was so far ahead of Mane. So Mane he's got a one-track mind. He goes for goal, but he's very good at it. Is it worth saving 1 million though to give up on Mo Salah, who has been 2 years running the highest FPL point scorer?
I don't know. I don't like to say that I don't know, because that feels like a total punt. And why do we have this podcast? I'm never going to answer that way. But it feels too soon to tell if I can punt a little bit, if I can punt it down the road a couple of weeks. I honestly don't know. I mean, the $1 million would be a nice savings. But if I did that, I would be doing it just to save the million. I feel like I wouldn't be doing it because I really feel in my heart that Mane is a better fantasy asset than Salah.
Let me put it to you this way. If you saw a manager out there move Salah to Mane this week, would you be like, whoa, 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 buddy, slow down, you're making a big mistake? Or would you say, oh, okay? Because I feel like I'd be in the, okay camp.
Yeah, I guess I would be too. And I guess I'm still worried about the Salah ownership, 43%. It's pretty high. I think, you know, he can really hurt you if he does well. I mean, he's only like a week removed from being, you know, far and away the most captain player of the game. I think he was the most captain player this game week as well, right? So, I mean, hugely owned. I don't know. And Mane's only 16% owned. So, he's not going to hurt you really if he does anything big, at least yet, you know? So, I'm not going to bring in, I'm not going to make that move myself. Even on a wild card, I think I would hold on to Salah, even though it'd be tempting to move to Mane.
Right. Of course, the one guy we haven't talked about, we could throw him in the overlooked players section, but yeah. Bobby Firmino.
Yep. Yep. No, thanks. I don't know. I mean, he's a great player, but I don't want him. Do you want him? Do you want Firmino?
No, I don't. it's just a terrible price for my man, Firmino.
Yeah.
Was he? I think it was two seasons ago. He was 8.5, and it was his first season as a forward, and it worked. Yeah. It worked for everybody. We all had a good time, but it's not working right now, particularly when I want to be invested in Liverpool's midfield and defense without any doubt.
He's such a great player, and he seems like a great guy. And it's like he's almost like too nice of a guy. You know, it's like it feels like he'll always, if there's any chance that he can find someone, namely Salah or Mane, to pass the ball to, you know, like if they have a 3% better chance of scoring, he's always going to do it, right? And it's just, he's sort of, you know, he's a beautiful player, but it's, he's not like really what I want in a fantasy asset.
Yeah, he's kind of the opposite of what you were saying about Jamie Vardy. He's right. Just the ultimate team player.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
All right. I see on the running order, you've created a whole 30-minute segment for us to talk about Jordan Henderson, which is great. Maybe we just table that for next week, though.
Let's do it.
And move on to the Game Week 3 preview.
Let's do it. Game Week 3 kicks off on Friday with Aston Villa Everton. Interesting match. I don't know if it'll be a good match or not, but an interesting match. What stands out to you in Game Week 3? Are there any matches that you're really excited about? Anything you really, you know, you're starting to prematurely get that popcorn bowl up, Brandon? Maybe you've you've taken the popcorn out of the bag of the set of three popcorns, you know, and you've unwrapped it from the plastic case.
One of my favorite Arrested Development jokes, the pop secret gag that they had. Do you remember that one?
No, I don't.
Who's the brother who's kind of subnormal?
Buster
mm-hmm. realizes that his dad is actually his uncle or something like that. And anyway, we're totally getting sidetracked. Those of you who know the pop secret joke know it and they love it.
Okay, I'll YouTube
for me,
it.
Yep. My pop secret game of the week has got to be Liverpool hosting Arsenal, because Arsenal have been getting away with it the first 2 weeks. They had an amazing transfer window over the summer. Mm-hmm. They're doing the best they can with this squad that kind of blew Champions League qualification. Yeah. And this will be a real test for them. And I guess it's a test for Liverpool as well. But I just want to see how Arsenal come at Liverpool at Anfield. It could be fun.
I think it'll be fun too. I think Liverpool are going to smoke them. I think I think it's like a 4-1 win or something like that. But I think it'll be an interesting match. I am also looking forward to that. I just love that. The final match on Saturday, it's a 12 o'clock fixture here in the US. It is.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but there's like no bad match for me at that time. Like even the bad ones I look forward to. It's like the sun is at its highest peak of the day. You know, it's just like it's. I'm just always in a good mood when that match is on. Yeah. I think, what else stands out to me? Spurs Newcastle is an interesting match, just because I'm curious just how bad Newcastle is. Like, are we in a position now where you want to be captaining players who play Newcastle because they're Newcastle? Like, I don't know, you know. I mean, you know, they only lost 1-0 at home in game week one, so I don't want to go too overboard here. They did look terrible away to Norwich. And look like they had like no attack. And Joe Linton, man, did not have a he was getting kicked all over the pitch. He spent more time in the ground than he did running around.
He'd spent too much time watching Wesley play for Aston Villa. Yeah, that'll be a fun one. Captaincy, it would have to be between Sterling and Harry Kane. So you brought in Harry Kane. Did you bring him in with the sole purpose of captaining this man?
I think Salah is also a great captain shout this weekend. I don't trust that Arsenal defense. I don't think they're that good. I mean, they're maybe a little bit better now with Luis, but like they haven't played together at all. This idea that like persists. I'm not saying you're saying this, but a lot of people seem to think that like you can just take four people. And if they're talented, you know, you just throw them together in a back line and suddenly they're a good defense, you know? And I just don't think there haven't been like any reps with any of the Arsenal defenders. It's just all over the place, like all of these different players. And so, you know, I just don't really like, I'm not feeling it right now with the Arsenal defense. And so I think that Liverpool really could put up a crooked number in this match.
Yeah.
That said, I am leaning towards Kane. I think that Kane is, an almost irresistible captain, you know, for this big kind of featured match against Newcastle. What do you think?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, my bus team, I have Harry Kane captain as well. I think I have zero respect for Bournemouth's defense. So I think the temptation to go with Raheem Sterling for me is far greater than Mo Salah. But I definitely hear what you're saying about Arsenal's defense.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how I'd rate them right now heading into the week is Kane first, then Sterling, then Salah.
This is fun because we're going to have a real, like, it could be a really swingy game week because I think you can make a strong case for all three of those players.
Yeah,
and, you know, and Sergio, talk about under-the-radar players. Sergio Aguero, man, like, I know he, like, well, now I guess we'll see what happened now that he's fighting with Pep or whatever, but.
Mommy and Daddy are fighting.
But, yeah, I mean, if they're going to get, like, you know, I don't know. Like, I feel like VR is going to help them more than hurt them this season. And, you know, I still feel like Aguero is the semi-permanent starting forward of that team.
Right. I think one of the most intriguing FPL, strictly FPL fixtures, sorry to all you Brighton, Southampton, actual real-life fans out there, but to see how Brighton look against Southampton, another great test of all of Brighton's fun assets that are coming to the fore.
Yeah, I mean, Trossard could really blow up if he has another big match in that Southampton game. I think Man United Crystal Palace, I'm a little nervous about having any players in that game. As you said earlier about Palace, they are off to an awful start. Kind of funny because, I mean, they got all this money from the sale of Aaron Wan-Bissaka. And it doesn't really feel like they like kind of threw it all back into their team, does it? Like that team does not feel fundamentally any different than it did. I mean, I guess they got Gary Cahill on a free. Like, is that it? Like, was there anything they did? They brought in Camarasa, who I like. I mean, they still have Benteke and Connor Wickham and Jordan Ayew up front. I mean, none of those players are good. So it's like, I don't know. It's a weird thing.
Yeah. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't want to understand it.
You just want to move on.
It's like, sounds like a bad movie. It sounds like a movie that got bad reviews. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just not going to see it. I'm not even going to rent it.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they'll improve. They had kind of a bad start to the season last year. So maybe it'll, I don't know, maybe they'll turn around. I don't know. We'll see.
How about the battle of who could care less between Watford and West Ham?
That's a tough one. Watford have had a rough start to the year for sure. So, and you're still a big, you love Jerry D though, Brandon. I'm surprised. You know, the way you were talking about him yesterday, I was like, wow, Brandon really loves this guy.
Yeah. Well, what can I say? What did I say about him? Like, I just love his whole freewheeling attitude.
I think that's what it was. Your exact words, if I remember. Uh-huh. So, yeah.
I was probably talking about somebody else, but that's fine.
So that is game week three. I'm looking forward to it. I like the spread. I like there's no Monday match. This has been your podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you for listening. And if you'd like to support the podcast and get some free stuff at the same time, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. We also have some producer thank yous this week, Brandon. I'll just read them off because I'm just going.
You're in the pocket. Go.
That's right. Paul Hertzig, Victor Forberg, Skogang, Alan Creasy, Blair Jacobson, Nick Wright, Stian Niehaus, Kaja Christine Lelang, Brian Chin, Travis West, Frederick Kian Gransky, Dave Wagner-Little, Danny Evans, Brian Jacobson, Andy Penn, Jazz Binning, Christian Carter, Bob Oskun, James Holland, Ben Grant, Jeff Husby, the big gaffer, Trevor Ingerson, Brian T, Nick Costello, Jim Payne, Anna Benjamin, Martin Savage, Chris Howell, Stephen Toomey, and Mike DiPietro, who we met in person this weekend. It was great. Nice to meet you, Mike. You're an awesome dude. And you secretly paid the tab, which I'm still kind of annoyed about. That was a bold move. Amazing move. Yes. It was impressive. Very smooth. Yes.
Also props to Steve and Gabe, who we also met at the Black Horse. Thanks for saying hello, guys. Remember to rate and review and subscribe to Always Cheating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Acast, wherever it is that fine podcasts are made available to you. Follow us on Twitter at Hail Cheaters, Instagram at Hail Cheaters, Facebook.com/alwayscheating. Send us an email, hailcheaters@gmail.com. For all this information and more, including the Always Cheating online shop where you can buy our cool Third Eye FC t-shirt, go to alwayscheating.com. And now for what you've all been waiting for, all of our new patrons, you get shout outs. I'll start with the Volkswagen level Patreon members. Thank you to Matthew Goland, James Conroy, and at the Lord Sorloff tier, Sebastian Lewander, Colin Willemson, Tim McCarthy, Iman, Tim Broughton, Stephen Barrow, Nigel Henze, David Zanek, Shane O'Sullivan, Danny Boyle. Oh my God, the famous film director, Danny Boyle, is now on the Patreon.
Beautiful. Yeah, it's awesome.
Oyvind Peterson, Willie L., Matt, William Rossiter, Colin Schatz, Evan Tan, and Sean Scott. Thank you to you, to all of you guys. Josh, round it out with the tier of the week, the Pookie patron.
Stephen Walsh, thank you. Arlen Krasniki, Robbie Miners, Sportsbits, Jovan Dragasevich, Alistair Wolf, and Adam English. Thank you to all of our new Pookie patrons, all of our new patrons, and our producer patrons, and everyone who just flat out does not support the podcast and just but listens to the podcast every week, which is the most important thing. Thank you for listening to the podcast. See you next week.
Hail Cheaters.